Thank you, ladies, once again for your help this afternoon. Praise the Lord. Open your Bibles, if you would, this afternoon. We're going to turn to the New Testament book of Philippians. And some might say, boy, we sure preach an awful lot out of the New Testament. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. And I will say this, a little bit of a, I don't know, maybe we'll call it a disclaimer, maybe we'll call it a advertisement, I don't know. But I will say this, that when I saw Pastor's title of his message this morning, I thought to myself, boy, God is good. Because I believe that God orchestrates things. Now, I will promise you this, and I know Pastor said it this morning, but I will promise you that Pastor and I do not discuss anything about what he might be preaching or what I might be studying to share his messages. We don't share those things between us to try to match up what we're doing. But I believe by God's providence, today you're going to hear a lot of crossover from this morning's message and what I expect to be at least next week, along with next week's part two of my message. I shouldn't say it that way. It's not my message. It's God's message that I'm going to share with you. But the message this afternoon out of Philippians, we're going to be looking at the end of chapter 1 and into the beginning of chapter 2, really is a message that talks about intercession. What is that? Well, we'll find out here in a minute. Al, back there, I have titled today's message, On Behalf of Others. On behalf of others. Now, at the end of last week's message, if you recall, I mentioned, now if you recall, last week's message was talking about being overwhelmed or not. And in the end of that message, I mentioned this statement that if or when we are not feeling or suffering from the often overwhelming weight of life, or decisions that we've made, or oppression by our choices, or by our fleshly desires, or even by the temptations that are orchestrated to touch us in any aspect of our life where we are the weakest, if we're not currently suffering from those kinds of overwhelming pressures, that we should be using those opportunities to take up for one another and stand in the gap with them, if you will, in prayer. Now, in fact, God has counseled us to that very truth, as we find it in Paul's letter to the Galatians, where he records, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. He goes on in verse 2 to say, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And again in Philippians. So let's look in Philippians. We're going to look at chapter number 1. We'll read it as our source text. Chapter number 1 starting in verse number 27, reading through chapter 2 and verse 4. The Bible here says in chapter 1 of Philippians, verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man to his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Note that very small four-letter word, also. Not only, as we heard this morning, are our prayers to be focused on how God can change and improve us, and how we can be a better servant and a witness for God, but the Bible tells us that we must also bear up each other. And that is the very premise of intercession. So again, here in verses 1 through 4, if there be any comfort, any consolation, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy. And he says, look not, in verse 4, every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now, having read these passages, there are a couple of things. Both the passages in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, and in this passage here, our source text, there are a couple of things that I believe we must be careful to not misunderstand. When Paul recorded that we are to bear one another's burdens, and that we are to look every man also on the things of others, it is in no way a justification to be a nosy, busybody that has to know every detail of what is going on in everyone else's life. Even though that seems to be a natural tendency, we as humans, ooh, I gotta know. Ooh, what's the dish, man? That's not what Paul is talking about. That's not what God is instructing us to. That natural tendency, I suppose, might be stronger in some than in others, but this is where the context of these passages becomes paramount. It becomes utmost importance to understand the context. We have to read and include and understand what he's saying. Secondly, being involved in effective prayer on the behalf of others requires, as we heard from Galatians 6:1, requires that we are in a right personal relationship with God. Amen. Remember, the verse said, ye which are spiritual, take up for the others, bear one another's burdens. Paul wrote, in the spirit of meekness. And as we're praying for others, he says, in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And now that tempting, I believe, is that of giving in to, if someone confides in you a particular issue that they would ask you to pray with them about. Paul says, be very careful not to fall into temptation. What temptation? The temptation to go and say, hey, do you know what I heard? Or, hey, you know what? I've got a friend that's really struggling with this. Let me just tell you about it so that we can both pray together. Oh, no, 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 no. Your confidence has been exercised with that one person that confided in you. Take it to the Lord. No one else need be involved but you and the one that has asked you to pray with them. Be careful, he says, in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Being tempted to give in to gossip about a situation, or being tempted to be a little like the self-righteous Pharisee that we heard this morning, getting a little bit puffed up, and boy, I am glad I am not in their shoes. Thank you, Lord, for making me better than that. Oh, that's some dangerous place. So I would ask you if you would pray with me now as we look to this message on behalf of others, looking at the purpose of intercession, the process, and the product of becoming intercessors on behalf of others. Father God in heaven, as we look to your message, as we look to your word, Lord God, may the Holy Spirit speak to my heart. And Lord, may the Holy Spirit fill me to speak to these hearts, and may we share in how the Holy Spirit of God opens our understanding to your word, that, oh God, we might be much more ready to intercede for others. Help us today. May your will be accomplished. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, the purpose of being an intercessor, as I suppose I could just say, you know what, read the passage of Scripture and let's all go home and take a nap. And that might be okay, but that's not what we're going to do. The purpose of being an intercessor. First, what is this word, being an intercessor? Well, it is one who intercedes. That's a great definition. What does that mean? What does it mean to intercede? According to Strong's Concordance, the word means to confer with and entreat for. In other words, it's very much like the Holy Spirit of God who was given to us to come alongside, to confer with our spirit, and to entreat God for us. We are to do so for one another. If a man be overtaken in a fault, what does that mean? That means if someone happens to be overcome with the pressures of either a decision that they've made, a choice that they've made to do something that maybe wasn't the best, or it's just how fast things come. You know what the meaning of overwhelming means? It means something has happened so fast you can't catch up or you can't keep up. Sometimes, don't you find that to be true? That, boy, life happens so fast. We find ourselves always behind the eight ball looking around and trying to find, well, how did I get here? Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. We read it this morning, and that's why I say there's going to be a lot of crossover. So if you believe that you've got all of this right to a full understanding, feel free to come up and show me how this works. But Romans chapter 8, as we read this morning, verses 26 and 27, likewise the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, notice the capitalization, likewise the Holy Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Who is it that searcheth the hearts? Isn't it God? Searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit of God, because he, the Holy Spirit, maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's where Pastor was talking this morning, the message was talking, the Word of God was talking this morning, that the intercession according to the will of God, God will provide what we need by His will, not necessarily what we want. Now, we just sang a song, Fill My Cup, Lord. Feed me until... I almost don't like that phrase. Because that would give us maybe the sense that, well, you know what? I'll go to church until I'm full of that. I can't take any more of that. And then that's not what the song is talking about. That's why I say I almost don't like that phrase. But may it be that we never, ever get to the point where we are full of whatever God's trying to offer. Oh, God, keep me hungry. Keep me thirsty for your word. Then look over in chapter 8 of the book of Romans to verse number 34, if you would, please. This whole passage talks about being more than conquerors, and it talks about how we have to overcome, and it talks about all kinds of things. For whom we did foreknow in verse 29, we're predestined to be conformed to the image of God. But down in verse 34, it says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Christ, as he walked on the earth, told Peter at one time, I have prayed for you. Christ's message to us as believers in him, having accepted him as our Savior, speaks to us and say, I have prayed for you. We just read it right here. The Bible says that Christ intercedes for us. What does that mean? Our Savior stands before the holy and the righteous judge, God the Father. And our Savior presents His own finished work on the cross, having atoned for the sins of all who have accepted it by faith, so that God is enabled to hear and accept and answer our prayers because we are washed in the righteousness of Christ. If we were not washed in the righteousness of Christ, save for the prayer of Jesus, please save me, the prayers that we offer, God's not able to answer them if we're not washed in the blood of Christ. Because the Bible tells us how God cannot coexist with evil, we have to be saved. We have to be washed by the blood of Christ, the righteousness, the holiness that we are imputed with by Christ. And it enables God to work so much more freely in our lives. Now, let me clarify. Before we're saved, as the Holy Spirit works to bring us to a place where we recognize our need for a Savior, God hears the prayer, "Please save me." Because He's given us the faith to enable that. But beyond that, it takes the grace of God through the righteousness of Christ for our prayers to get through. So what more do we need then? If the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, if Christ our Savior is both, He and the Spirit both are interceding for us, what more can we do through our prayers and praying on behalf of others? If Christ is praying for each one of us, why should we pray for each other? Christ is a whole lot closer, right? I believe that there's several parts to that answer. Now, I don't know that it has so much to do with what we can do for those whom we are praying. That's not our place. We can't necessarily do anything to fix other people's prayers or to answer other people's prayers. But if we can pray with them, this one thing is what we can do. If we are being sanctified and growing to be conformed to the image of Christ, as Romans 8:29 tells us, then we must grow in our relationships with each other so that when one falls or is struggling, that we also feel that same struggle with them and come before our God and our Savior to pray on their behalf for their strengthening by Christ to appropriately deal with the issue and our own strengthening to have a biblical godly answer ready if we should be asked for counsel. Wow, that was a long answer. What is it that we can do when we are to intercede for others? Our relationship with God has to be such that we can go before God in the blood and the righteousness of Christ and take up for this one that is struggling and maybe doesn't know how to fix that. We can take up for them, plead on their behalf that God would also strengthen them through Christ. Remember Philippians, it says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." If we can plead for the strength of Christ to be imparted to that one and pray for them and support them in that way, then it's not that we're praying for the issue to just be removed and forgotten. We're praying that God would strengthen them to make it through and to find the resolution, to find their way back to God and to get the resolution. And that's what we're praying for. But friends, that also means that we have to have such a relationship that we can also have a biblical answer ready if they ask us counsel. How do I do this? I don't know. I've never gone through that. God has. God knows the answer. God will provide the answer. We have to have such a relationship that we can have an answer ready. But that is no small task. Remember Galatians chapter 6, 1, "If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual," our relationship has to be right. Then it says, "Restore such an one." What does that mean? It means to help them, to guide them, to show them from the Word of God where they can get the answers for their own issues between them and God. It's not up to us to fix anyone else's issue. But brothers and sisters, it's up to us to hold them up in prayer. To feel the burden. Not superficially like, "You know what, I'll pray for you. Have a nice day." And go about our business. If our relationship with God is right, when a brother or a sister especially comes and says, "Hey, I'm struggling, I need some help." Boy, that ought to feel in here that we can pray more earnestly for them. Secondly, our intercession on behalf of others can give us perspective. What does that mean? It can give us perspective. James chapter 5 and verse 16 says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. If we are truly burdened for one another and are praying earnestly for one another, I believe that as the Holy Spirit also intercedes for them and intercedes for us, He will begin to reveal to us things in our own life, perhaps, or heart, that are hindering our own spiritual life and walk with God, to the intent that in our own personal prayer time we can get those things right before God and gain that victory, so that we are more free to share the victory that we've gotten through Christ with another that might have the same kind of an issue. It gives us perspective to say, you know what, I'm not the only one that feels like I'm being overwhelmed with certain things. There are others that are just as needful as I am for the healing of God. And the Bible says that if we confess our faults one to another and pray one for another, we will be healed. I believe that's what James 5:16 is saying. But let's not neglect the rest of that verse. The rest of James 5:16 says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Thirdly, and part and parcel to this perspective, thirdly, in this first point of the purpose for interceding, when we focus on interceding and praying for others, it tends to restore us into a more meaningful and powerful worship of our God. That is not because by praying for the needs of others, we can rejoice because we aren't facing that problem. Rather, it shifts our focus away from our own self-pity. It shifts our focus back to where it ought to be. Remember in the Gospel of Matthew and in Luke and in Mark, the Bible says that if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. Whatever it is that we need, God knows. Yes, we are to pray and we are to cast our care upon Him. Absolutely. And this is by no means competing with what Pastor was preaching this morning. It is more merely a supplement to, because of that little word also. If we will focus our efforts on praying for the needs of others, it will put us into a right perspective with God. It'll give us a closer walk with God, and He will be able to just provide what we need. We won't necessarily even be aware, and all of a sudden the problems that we thought we had might just be gone, because our focus has been moved back to worshiping God and praying for others, not focused on, as was said this morning, woe is me. It shifts our focus away from narcissism and self-pity, or even self-aggrandizement, which is really just getting puffed up like Nebuchadnezzar did when he said, look at what I have built. So it shifts our focus even away from the good things that happen in our lives, when we could say, boy, you know what? Things are going great. I've got a great job. I've got a great family. And things are just fantastic. And I am wonderful. It takes our focus away from that kind of an attitude as well, when we realize that, boy, there's things that we need to be praying for. God knows what I need, and God will bless, and praise God for that. And we can have our season of praise. But it shifts our focus back to where it belongs, in a true and a powerful worship of God. That's really what personal worship should be. And it's not just the act, personal worship, it's not just the act of church attendance and joining in the singing or offering a testimony or putting money in the offering plate. It's all of those things together, of course. But it's also along with getting into such a close personal relationship with God that our outlook on life is that we see nothing of how we might be inconvenienced if God should ask us to do something. How many times have you thought, boy, I know God wants me to go talk to them, but boy, you know, I'm late and I got to do this and I got to, you know, and my engine just died and I don't know what we're going to do and I'm out in the middle of Fairfax nowhere and what are we going to do? And boy, it can be inconvenient sometimes when God says, this is what you need to go through at the moment. But if our personal relationship with God has been so fine-tuned, nothing is an inconvenience. It's an opportunity to see God's hand at work in the lives of others for whom we have been having the privilege of interceding for. It's an opportunity to see the hand of God at work even through our disappointments. The phrase has been coined, our disappointments are God's appointments. They're opportunities to see God work. Boy, isn't it fun when you see God work? What a blessing it is to see the very God of heaven paying enough attention to me and to my prayers that He's answered and I've seen it. But I don't want those to be prayers for me. I want those to be prayers for others that need it more than me. The Bible tells us that we are to esteem other better than ourselves. God knows what we need. What a blessing to see God's hand at work in the lives of others for whom we have the privilege of interceding. And that brings us to our second point, the process. It's half past that hair, so I think it's about time to quit. Maybe next week, by God's grace, we'll look at the second two points, the process of interceding and the... What was the other one? The product. Had a cramp there for a minute. The process of interceding and the product of interceding on behalf of others. But friends, there's a purpose. There's a purpose for everything in the Bible. There's a purpose for our prayers. We have to pray on purpose on behalf of others. Pastor, won't you close?
Others. That's what the Christian life is really all about, others. I think we live in a very spoiled generation of about me. What about me? What about my needs? What about my wants? What about my desires? And the truth of the matter is, if you put others first, you find a satisfaction. You find a real sense of fulfillment by putting others first. And when you are mindful of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. So if we're busy about God's business, seeking God's business, God knows what our needs are. And I would rather have God meet my needs than anybody else, no matter who it is He's going to use. But the truth of the matter is, our focus should always be on others.
Yes.
Others. Praying for them, interceding for them, finding out, asking God, what can we do to help them? What can we do to alleviate some of the pressures and the problems that they might be going through? But Christ demonstrated, He didn't come here for Himself.
No.
He came at the behest of the Father. And through His entire public ministry, all He did was authenticate the fact that He was indeed the Son of God. But nonetheless, He still humbled Himself and He went to the cross because He had you and me on mind.
Amen.
He came here because of the Father and for others such as you and me. And the Father's going to glorify Him, and we ought to glorify Him too as well. Amen? Well, Father, we thank You for this time that we can be together and be mindful that, Lord, it is about others. Lord, it may even be the others who are unsaved. They need to know the love of God. They need to know the love of Christ. They need to know that there is someone out there who really cares about them as a person, as an individual, as a family. But Lord, open our eyes that we might see. Give us those, not just glimpses, but Lord, it's all around us. We don't have to strain our eyes to see, but Lord, it exists all around us. And Lord, not only help us to see it, but Lord, help the doors to be open so we can step through them and let others know that we care. And it's just not a slogan on our bulletin that we care about others. So Lord, we do pray that You'll guide and direct us as we go throughout this week and until You come, that we will continue to learn how to be selfless and more tuned in to others. And we'll give You that praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Pastor.